Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
It's We'll See About That with World Series MVP Ron Say.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to We'll See About That. Ron Say here with Mike Gary. And today's discussion, we're going to have a little bit of a roundtable like we did here a few weeks ago. And we're going to get to that pretty soon. But I did want to make an announcement about my book, Penguin Power with Triumph Books, that will be launching right around the corner on June 13th. It's available on Amazon and pre-orders are ready to go. And the other factor is on the next day, on June 14th, at Diesel Bookstore in Santa Monica, we are having our first book signing at 6:30 p.m. in the evening. I'm hoping that for those of you who are in the neighborhood, please stop by and say hello. I'd love to see you there.
So when's it going to be adapted into a feature film? And are we shooting for, I don't know, maybe Timothy Chalamet to play young Ron Say, maybe an Emile Hirsch later in the career? What are we thinking here?
I'm just going to have this settle in. Very excited about it. My writer, Kenny Guernick, and I will be there at the event. We're excited about getting this thing underway and looking forward to it. So it's a brand new challenge, just like the podcast is, and glad to get that underway.
Well, congratulations. You've been working very hard on that, and I'm sure it's nice to see that, you know, finally coming to fruition and out. And so check it out, folks. Make sure to check it out on Amazon.com, wherever you find your books.
Got it. Thank you so much.
Did you see a friend of the show, Mr. Jokic, earlier in the week have 30 points, 20 rebounds, 10 assists in 40 minutes, the first NBA player to do that in the finals?
And I did. And I, his teammate also had a triple-double.
Yeah.
And that was the first time that that had been accomplished. And unfortunately, Skip Bayless, you know, had to throw in his 2 cents worth about how lucky Djokovic was, or Jokic, your preference. I don't think you score 41 points and get triple doubles by mistake. It's well designed. He's got a terrific player that he feeds off of, and the complementary players for Denver have been great. And I got to tell you, I get a lot of credit to Miami too, man. They are a spunky bunch.
Yeah,
they've hustled real good. Spoelstra, I love him. Pat Riley, all the success there. It looks like it's going to be a bigger, longer series than possibly it might be. But excited to have that. I really enjoy watching this part of the game. We'll be right back right after this message.
Hello, everyone. Fred Dreyer here for Balance7.com. Do you suffer from low energy, acid reflux, heartburn, joint discomfort, or a weak immune system? Well, Balance7 is your answer. Balance7 dilutes the acid in your body and kickstarts your immune system. That's right. 3 sips a day is all you need. In 3 days, you will feel the difference. Balance7 is my go-to drink to energize me every day.
Staples has everything you need to help run your small business. Shipping supplies and services to help move orders out the door. Print marketing services so you can print signs, banners, and presentations fast. And now during Staples Small Business Deal Days, you save 50% when you buy any combination of 5 or more boxes, mailers, and shipping tubes. Plus, find new deals for small business in-store every week. Keep your business running right and safe at Staples. Offer valid in-store online order pickup and Instacart. Exclusions apply. Not valid in Concord, New Hampshire location. Prices may vary. N71.
Progressive presents an ad from
Bundle.com.
When you bundle your home and auto insurance
with
Progressive
Bundle. Hi, this is Dodge legend Ron saying, if you're a business owner, would you like to save 20 to 30% on your monthly health insurance premium
while improving your benefits? When you bundle your home and auto insurance with Progressive, you get round-the-clock protection.
If you have more than 10 employees and you're interested in building a tax-free retirement income that can be funded with tax-deductible dollars,
get round-the-clock protection when you bundle and save with Progressive. It's easier than getting your mom to make this radio ad. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers that cannot avail in those two situations.
Can help they make some of the most important financial decisions that a business owner must make. Easy to understand. Many of my friends who are business owners always talk about how much they're looking to stretch their budgets and do more for their employees, their family, and themselves. If you are in the same situation, give my friends at BFF Financial a call at 888-908-4BFF. Call the team at BFF Financial at 888-908-4BFF to get a free consultation. Tell them Ron sent you. BFF Financial, simplifying the complex. 888-908-4BFF.
This is Ron Barr. I got a great suggestion for you. Father's Day is coming up, and if you really
imagine
want to give him something,
getting
I
ahead
know
of your irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C by treating it with Linzess. Then you could start proactively managing your constipation with belly pain and get ahead of your symptoms. Talk to your doctor about Linzess. Linzess is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually.
Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling.
Imagine, what could relief from IBS-C mean for you? Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
They still call me the Penguin. And we are back. We'll see about that. Ron Say again with Mike Gary, and we are having a roundtable discussion, of which I know it's going to be a wild, crazy affair today. I have no idea where this is going. And
we're doing this off the cuff, folks. We're pulling stuff out of the hat. And just to circle back what you mentioned in the first segment about Skip Bayless, you know, when you go to the circus, you're going to see the clowns. And I think that's what we've seen. Let's talk a little bit briefly about what's happening this week in MLB. We saw, you know, we have these terrible wildfires in Canada that are bringing all this smoke down into the East Coast. And so the MLB is canceled. Yankee games, Philly games, so on and so forth. In California, we call that a Tuesday because we have, you know, especially when you were playing, Ron, you know, this was deep in the L.A. smog time. What was it like playing in the summertime in Los Angeles in the smog when also the wildfires were burning?
We had 8 o'clock games back then, for those of you who want to go back 50 years in time. Primarily because of there was electricity issue. You know, they didn't even want to turn on the lights until around game time. So sometimes we were taking batting practice in the shadows and in the dark a little bit to preserve. And you know, we were getting out of the clubhouse probably after 12 o'clock every night. But when I got here, the smog was, I mean, really, really bad. And we have cleaned it up a bit, but still playing in the smog, the valley of the smoke, wasn't that what they called it way back then?
Yeah.
And, you know, day games at Dodger Stadium, which we did not do very frequently, but sometimes we had some Saturday games and sometimes we had Sunday day games. But, it's a lot different, like you say, when you go to Denver and you have to get rid of the altitude, you have to get used to the altitude and it's like you have to get used to the smog too. So we had to put up with that. Other players, you know, complained about it, especially the ones who came in. My God, how do you guys play in this stuff? But there's always something going on. And I can tell you that back in New York, where my brother-in-law lives, I got a call from them today saying that they haven't been able to leave the house for a couple days. So
pretty much saying stay inside or wear an N95 mask.
Sure.
So
yeah,
we'll be watching that moving forward. You know, thoughts and prayers out there. Ron, due to listener demand, I've been getting a lot of emails and calls, tweets and faxes about this. Mm. People you got to give the people what they want. And what the people want is they want your succession review.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. I even lost my earplug on that one. Oh, Jesus.
As we know, spoiler alert, if you haven't watched it, maybe skip forward in this podcast. But, you know, Ron and I are both big fans of the HBO show Succession, which had its series finale last week.
I was taken aback. I had signs along the way that I should have been paying a little bit more attention to. I mean, it did tweak a nerve when I saw it going a little bit sideways, but I didn't put it together in the same way that it ended. And as I've said before, this whole family is the most despicable family I think I've met in television. So far off base. I hope that other people with wealth don't act in the same way. But, you know, they managed almost impossibly to step on everybody that was there.
Yeah.
And I can't stand her even worse now than ever.
We're talking about Shiv. Shiv Roy.
Oh my God. I mean, did you see it coming any differently?
There was a lot of think pieces out there, a lot of commentary that thought that cousin Greg the Egg would be the final victor. But of course, it was Shiv's quote unquote husband, Tom. He ended up sitting in the big chair. None of the kids, be it Roman, be it Shiv, or be it poor Kendall, were able to succeed their father, hence the word succession, as CEO of Waystar Royco. But it was a fun watch, and they are despicable. Pretty much every character in the show is despicable, but I just couldn't take my eyes off of it.
Oh, no. I mean, it was a riveting show, no question. They were all splendid actors. Trust me. I thought they all did a terrific job. I just had a hard time with the reality of it, of them two sitting in the car as this thing is closing, putting their hands together like, something got accomplished here. When she would stab you in the back, probably by the time they got to their destination.
Yeah, he needs a food taster from here on out. You need someone to check his breaks every morning.
Yeah, terrific show. Well done, but man, oh man.
Do you see any parallels between that show? Because it's a show about a family of great wealth who owns and controls a very prestigious and wealthy business. Do you see any of the kind of characteristics from that family and some of the tropes you see in that show with some of the ownerships that you've seen around sports over the years?
I can't say that I have. I haven't gotten close to those kinds of people, and especially in today where you have new ownerships coming in like they have, and usually these people are, billionaires now, know. And so, it's completely corporate America. Fortunately, I got the privilege of playing for the O'Malley families when things were pretty simple and easy back then, and they got out at the right time because they didn't have the power to stay in the game anymore, but they did a terrific job, and I wouldn't trade that time for anything.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the great ownership groups of all time, the O'Malley family.
Yeah.
I do see some similarities between what happened in succession to my beloved Los Angeles Lakers.
Uh-huh.
Because you had, Dr. Jerry Buss, God rest his soul, who was just a dynamo, just an amazing human being. For what he did, his vigor to really bring one of the great dynasties to here in Los Angeles. And then he had all his kids.
Right.
And each one of his kids kind of had, some of his qualities, but not all of his qualities built together, which what made him such a great leader.
Right.
And there was a lot of intrigue over the years about, quote unquote, coups between the sons towards Jeannie,
right.
Vice versa.
Johnny and Jeannie.
Jeannie.
Yeah.
And, there's kind of a lot of similarities, I thought, not to the extent of, and also I'm sure, we've met, members of the Buss family.
Sure.
They're all lovely people. But I did see some kind of some interesting corollaries there. Let's talk a little bit about LIV Golf. LIV Golf and the PGA, I'm sure you folks have seen, have merged. A little backstory here. About a year and a half ago, the Saudi Royal Investment Fund, they started a competing league to the PGA known as LIV Golf. They recruited a couple top-tier golfers, including Dustin Johnson and Bryson DeChambeau. And several other players of the PGA says that we're not interested specifically Rory McIlroy. Well, looks like LIV Golf won out. They will merge in all but name only. LIV Golf will own the PGA. Your thoughts?
My thoughts are that there's a lot of disgruntled golfers out there. They're calling the commissioner hypocritical. He has responded in a way that he kind of agrees that it does sound a little hypocritical. My issues, I suppose, are a little different. I don't know the complete background about it. Golf is not one of those things that I was doing anything other than, just another exercise. And I know how difficult the game is. But my issue is the free money that these guys are getting with no pressure. And it's coming from Saudi Arabia, and I have a problem with that.
Saudi Arabia, not necessarily the bastion of human rights.
Not exactly.
No, not really at all.
And I don't think they're going to change anytime too soon. And, the players have no pressure to perform. They just go get a paycheck.
No more cuts. Yeah. You know, the easier schedule now, 54-hole tournaments rather than 72 holes. And yeah. Poor Tiger Woods. They came to him a couple of years ago and offered him $800 million. He turned it down.
Right.
And now...
You saw, Lionel Messi, too, here, where he just signed with Miami, and there was an opportunity for him to go there, and he turned it down. He said, if it was about money, I would have gone to Saudi Arabia. So, good for you.
Nice integrity there, Mr. Messi.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, anyway, we're going to continue along with the round table. We've got a number of things that we're going to discuss, of which I do not have where it's going to lead. I'm looking for a few alleys and a few new roads to go down, and I think we'll probably reach that goal because Mike is going to lead me down a road that I haven't been on yet. We'll be back with our next segment right after this.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. If you've had a revision or removal surgery of a hernia mesh implant after 2008, pay close attention to this message. Hernia mesh manufacturers have recalled some of the mesh material that may have been used in your surgery due to high failure rate. The FDA has even blamed the recalled mesh material for some of the worst of the health issues reported by doctors and patients. If you've had two or more hernia surgeries for the same issue and you're having severe complications, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now.
800-817-2968. 800-817-2968. 800-817-2968. That's 800-817-2968.
If you're moving to another state, you're getting a fresh start in a brand new town. And when you choose a moving company to help get your valuable possessions to that new home of yours, you want somebody that's going to take care of your things like you would. That's why you need to call Colonial Van Lines. They're America's number one moving company for a reason. Because they'll take care of your things like they would their possessions. They'll use caution so nothing gets damaged. And they won't treat you like a number, they'll treat you like a friend. And when you call now on a qualified move across state lines, they'll give you a $250 discount. Move your things the right way. Call Colonial Van Lines now for a free quote.
Call now to learn more about this special $250 long-distance move discount. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. That's 800-847-0225.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way, way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair, when you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Hello, Bronce. We have returned to We'll See About That. Ronce here with Mike Carey in our continuation of the roundtable discussion. And lead away.
So, Ron, you know, as a former Dodger great, a legend, we have to talk about this. This was kind of in the news recently, this kerfuffle over the Dodger Pride Night, where, you know, just a little bit of background is that there's a, you know, June is LGBTQ Pride Month, and the Dodgers have a little event going on, and they invited a particular group who some would consider to be anti-religious, anti-Catholic. They were disinvited, this particular group, then invited back, so on and so forth. And then Dodger pitcher Clayton Kershaw came out and said he did not agree with allowing a anti-religious group such as this invited to this particular function. I understand that, you know, this is a sticky subject, but I'd like to know your thoughts on this.
I understood Clayton Kershaw's explanation of it. they now have, I guess, possibly opened the door on criticism from both sides. I was with Peter O'Malley here probably close to 2 weeks ago, and that conversation came up. Devout Catholic. I don't know exactly what went into the thought process here. But there was an article in the Wall Street Journal that basically bashed him for having it, bashed him for, you know, agreeing to have him back. And now you've got all this criticism coming from both sides. And I will tell you that on an Instagram here post here just the other day, I had a priority thing, and it's from a person that was extremely upset by it, saying that the Dodgers are going to lose a lot of money financially because of this. The Latinos that represent, I think now 48%? No, can't be 48. Somewhere in the neighborhood of 45% of the population in LA County now.
Yeah.
His concerns were about leadership, and I don't work there anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how they vetted this thing, but certainly a lot of people are very upset about it. I don't know how you fix it.
It's a no-win situation because you're going to get guff from both sides no matter what you do.
Right.
And I think that management needs to be held to a little bit of an account for putting themselves in that position. I feel bad for Clayton Kershaw.
I do.
I mean, even regardless of my particular views on these issues, it seems that they kind of left him out in the wind to make a particular statement to offer cover for the organization at large, which shouldn't be the responsibility of one of your players.
Not at all. Not at all. And, you know, I mean, I've heard some of the other arguments. Well, why didn't you honor this group or why didn't you honor that group? It just left the door open. Possibly a decision that sometimes the best decisions are the ones you don't make about these things.
So, 100%.
They're going to have a lot of ground to cover to fix this one up. I don't think this is going to go away too soon because they've already had protests, I believe, at the stadium. So they've got their hands full.
And this is going to happen every year. Every June, this is going to happen to them.
I can't predict the future, but, you know, unless they are able to somehow get this under control, yeah, you're probably right. Yeah.
You know what really bothers me, though? What really bothers me is watching a baseball game and watching some of the best hitters in the world go up there for their at-bat and just look at that first pitch. Why aren't major league hitters now swinging on obvious meatball first pitches.
Well, you know, you have to go back in history and time because there was a time even after I played where the leadoff hitter was kind of designated as, you know, you're the guinea pig right here. Go up and take as many pitches as you can, see as many pitches as you can, and give us an idea of, you know, how this pitch is working, how that pitch is working. And the idea is through a pitch count, a work order, that you make him throw more pitches and, you know, his limit will come up and you'll get him out of the game and you'll get to the bullpen. That existed in my time. But I got to tell you, from what my responsibilities were and from, you know, where I was hitting in the lineup, if you're going to throw me this pitch, first pitch, I'm not hanging around to wait to see what your other pitches look like. I'll see that the next time around because I might bury this one. And it might be with guys on base. And the thing that's always bothered me is that when you have a relief pitcher coming out of the bullpen and you have runners on base late in the game, game possibly on the line, and you see this hitter take the first pitch, and I'm saying, why? What went wrong here? Did you think that this guy was going to come in and throw you his secondary pitch when he throws 100 miles an hour gas all day long? My feeling is that you should be hitting from pitch one. Always.
Yeah, that should be the approach, that okay. Every pitch is a possibility.
And if you're going to get this pitch early in a count, because you grew up as a kid saying, you know, you're a pitcher, you got to get ahead in a count. You got to get ahead in these guys. Then you can work them inside, outside, up, down, wherever. You can basically choose. That goes for the hitter, too. If you take first pitch strike without really any intent, and now a pitcher makes a good pitch on you, and maybe it's on the black, maybe it's a slider on the black that you can't hit. Now you're down 0-2. Well, I can tell you that the current major league average in baseball is 243, and that is low on your all-time list.
Yeah, 239. Okay. It was in the Mendoza line, 239?
No, 200 is the Mendoza line.
200 is the Mendoza line.
But when it gets to two strikes in the game today, which I was surprised about because I've mentioned it before in the past, I didn't know it was going to be this astronomically low. It's in the neighborhood of 160.
And why is that?
I don't know, because here's the philosophy, too. Old-day philosophy is, you know, shorten up, two strikes, make contact, put the ball in play.
Yeah.
Doesn't exist anymore because they haven't valued that. They don't care. They're looking for you, and that's why strikeouts are so high, because it doesn't matter. An out's an out.
The stigma of the strikeout, those days are over.
You have no chance. That's why walks kill you. You know, you're giving somebody a free pass. And statistically, metrically speaking, if you go back, and this game's 140, 150 years old, I think it was just prior to maybe 1900 where walks were considered hits. And I grew up as a kid, and they used to tell me, walks are as good as a hit. Walks are as good as a hit. Now, I took that personally to mean that's good. And that was part of my game. Mm-hmm. But it's not part of everybody's game. And some people don't care about walks. And the organizations in baseball today, although they stress on base percentage, they're sending a double message. We don't care if you strike out 150 times. It doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't make sense to me either. I mean, everybody's, you know, either read the book or watched the movie Moneyball. And the whole, you know, the whole philosophy of Billy Beane and the A's during that time was getting on base. What was the most important thing when you were scouting players was getting on base.
Well, you know, this is the thing that Tim Wallach, who was a fine third base, outstanding major league player at third base, all-star caliber player, was one of our coaches in the Don Mattingly and Joe Torre time. And they started, you know, going through the metrics back then. It's the beginning of the metrics. and he was getting a ton of stuff to go through and digest, and he started doing a little bit more research, and he cornered me one day when I was at the park, and he said, you know, he says, I've been going through this stuff. It's really kind of interesting. He says, do you know that you're a more valuable player in today's game than you were in your own? And I said, what do you mean? He says, well, they're starting to value things that we were taught as kids, like a walk is as valuable as a base hit, but it didn't really transition over. Mm-hmm. And it was a nice thing, but it wasn't really an element of the game that you was valued as more important. Now you have OB and on-base percentage, slugging percentage, you have ops, you have all these different ways of which they perform. And of course, you know, since they don't value the average and they don't value strikeouts so much, we'll take what we can get. You're okay if you hit 210 and you hit 25 home runs, driving 75 runs, that's a good year. In some statistical measures, it is. In our statistical measures, it's probably, 25 home runs, really good. 75 RBIs from a guy that's not an RBI guy, that's a good year. For an RBI guy, it's not a good year. Mm-hmm. And, hitting 210 for me is, pretty much unacceptable across the board. I don't care if you're a singles hitter or home run hitter. You gotta have quality at bats. And I am convinced today also that with these guys throwing with the velocity that they do, and the game is pretty much gas, more gas, and a lot more gas. And if you're looking for anything other than gas, and you think that you can hit a 100-mile-an-hour fastball when you're looking for an 85-mile-an-hour slider, not going to happen very often, okay? And it's probably not going to work out too well. So based on that, I believe they are looking pitch and location, and if they don't get both, they're not going to swing. And I think that is another result of when you see a guy that takes a hittable breaking ball in the middle of the plate with two strikes is because he wasn't looking for that pitch.
He was sitting fastball
away, and he didn't get it, so he couldn't swing.
Seems like they just want perfect pitches to hit for power now, rather than, like you said, putting the ball in play, moving people over.
Right. Well, I mean, I we did invite the old school game back this year by making the bases bigger, which is invite base stealing, which has happened. But the rest of the game, the bunting, the hitting and running, moving guys over, I don't see much of that. Not at all. So, more to talk about. But it is interesting, metrics in baseball. We'll be back right after this message.
Wendy's Strawberry Frosty is back for the summer. Because if it's summertime, it's frosty time. Beach time? Frosty time. Tea time? Frosty time. Me time? Frosty time. Treat yourself to Wendy's Strawberry Frosty this summer and make time for frosty time. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's. Now open till midnight or later.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's. Hours may vary.
Hey, airline travelers. Let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. That's 855-325-5647.
The FDA issued an import alert for U.S. Customs authorities to detain illegal, disposable, flavored nicotine e-cigarettes from foreign countries, including China. Rich Marianos is a former assistant director for the ATF, now with Georgetown University.
These disposable e-cigarettes have become a real problem. It's encouraging to see the FDA act at the border, but our kids need them to take the next steps and remove these foreign disposables from the store shelves. They have the authority, and now it's time to act.
sponsored by the Border Security Alliance.
This is Ron Barr. Father's Day was always special for me and my dad. We'd go to a ball game, maybe go fishing, or even take a trip. They were the things that made Father's Day unique and unforgettable for us. I've got a suggestion that will make it the same for you and your dad. Give him the Omaha Steaks, Dad's favorite grill pack. I can't think of a better way to celebrate his day than barbecuing with your dad. Just visit omahasteaks.com, type in sports in the search bar, and order the Dad's favorite grill pack for just $99.99, and you'll get 8 free burgers. I've tasted all of this from Omaha Steaks, and I guarantee you'll like it, and so will your dad. Give your dad more than just a gift. Send him an experience he can share with you. Don't give your dad something electronic or a book or a tie. Just go to omahasteaks.com and order the Dad's favorite grill pack today. You'll save over 60% plus receive 8 free burgers with your order. It'll be a Father's Day your dad and you will always remember. That's omahasteaks.com, keyword sports.
Steve Carlin going head-to-head with Ron Say. High drive into deep left field. Back goes Leszczynski. It's gone! Fred Slammer!
2-2 to Say. It's high in the air to deep left field. Winfield back. She's gone!
This Week in Dodger History is brought to you by BFF Financial. The solutions are ours. The decisions are yours.
The fans.
And welcome back. We'll see about that. This Week in Dodger History, presented by BFF Financial. This week in June 1968, the great Don Drysdale works 4 scoreless innings against Philadelphia before finally allowing a run after 58 2/3 shutout innings on Howie Bedell's sacrifice fly. Bedell had no other RBIs in 1968 other than that. Sorry about that, John. That particular 56 consecutive scoreless inning set was set by Walter Johnson in 1913, and the Dodgers won that game in 5-3. And also this week, in June of 1955, the Dodgers optioned pitcher Tommy Lasorda to Montreal to make room on the roster for a bonus baby. I'm going to need you to explain that in a minute. One Mr. Sandy Koufax, who was on the injured list. So, not good luck for Mr. Tommy Lasorda, but good luck for Mr.
Yeah, Sandy. And he complained about getting sent down. Can you imagine that?
That kid Sandy, yeah. how could that happen to me?
Yeah, yeah. Tommy, if you did not know, I played for a long time. I had a terrific relationship with him over the years. And Walter Alston as well. And Walter never got a big league hit, and Tommy never won a big league game. Mm-hmm. And they're both in the Hall of Fame as managers. So I guess the fact that you don't have to have great success as a player in this, I think in their way it benefited them, because I think they had more patience dealing with players and understood the trials and tribulations rather than a superstar managing a team and expecting everybody to kind of perform like.
Yeah, those guys like Lasorda, I mean, they had the empathy of being journeymen. Whereas, right. You've seen plenty of times where superstars coach teams, Magic Johnson, for example. Right. I mean, they can't hold the other players. Why can't you be as great as me, Magic Johnson?
Yeah.
So that's tough.
And I also played for Tony La Russa, which also had, very limited success in the big leagues. And he turned out to be a terrific manager.
Yeah.
He may have stayed in the game a little bit too long. In Chicago with the White Sox at the end. Got a little sticky for him over there. But, I was fortunate to play for 3 Hall of Fame managers.
Yeah. We were talking during the break about, there's people that have opinions about baseball, and also people can talk knowledgeably about baseball. And someone, as yourself, can talk knowledgeably about baseball. How frustrating is it when you're watching, Mr. Skip Bayless and others, talk about sports, specifically baseball, never played the game, never really studied the game, when you know actually the science behind baseball? Do you just sometimes want to throw things at your TV, or how's that work?
Well, sometimes, I do. But, I haven't been as observant. I haven't been watching as many games here in the last couple of years. Tried to get away from it a little bit. Baseball is a game where everybody has an opportunity to express their opinions. He should have taken him out in the 6th inning. He was running out of gas. His fastball was on radar gun. It was down 3 miles an hour from the previous innings. The discussions about why did you pinch hit him or how come you didn't do that. It's just an opinion. People getting to express you know, how they would have done things differently. And sometimes I think it's taken a little too seriously. You know, this is what we're bargaining for. You know, we want you to get involved. We want you to talk about it. We want to help you understand, you know, better decisions that can be made. And sometimes, you know, like the metrics, you know, when you bring in a completely new system and you want everybody in baseball that is still a fan and has been a fan for years to digest this new material and try to explain it and try to understand it. The game that we played is not the game that exists today, not remotely. You know, the bases are the same. They're 90 feet apart, maybe 6 inches closer now.
Yeah.
But whatever. It's always been a game of inches. But I'm all for the data. I'm absolutely all for the data. Any information you can give me, I just don't want it to be implied sometimes. You know, there's sometimes where these numbers and all they say, and they say, man, no, numbers don't lie. Well, sometimes they're not the best decisions to be making. And you have to leave a manager like a Dusty Baker, Mike Socia, Joe Torre. You know, you have to give them room so that they can use this information and knowledge and experience to do a better job than just saying, well, I think you ought to remove this guy because the metrics are saying, I don't think so. I want this guy to finish it out. And there was a prime example here of a few years ago that I said that Dusty was managing the Astros in the postseason and Zach Greinke was on the mound and there were runners on base. And it was one of those prime times where you're going to go to the bullpen. The manager went to the mound, which kind of means that this isn't a conversation necessarily about, you know, the pitching coach coming out there and saying, how are you feeling? The manager's coming out himself. So there's a possibility. And the people who are doing the analytics are saying, oh, you're going to bring in here the right-hander, the left-hander. You know,
righty, lefty, lefty, righty.
You know, match them up, you know, whatever. And so, and Dusty gets out there and he speaks briefly with Zach. And Zach says, I'm good to go. And Dusty walks out and back to the bench and the announcers are saying, oh my God, is he going to have to answer to this? They're going against the metrics here. It says they ought to be bring him in. I'm saying, good for you, Bake, because I, you know, it turned out that Zach got out of the chain.
Well, and Dusty had right? to know, you know, being, you know, a great judge of talent and character, that Zach Greinke is a notoriously competitive guy.
Oh, absolutely.
And so when Zach Greinke, you know, maybe gets behind and's got guys on base, he wants to prove himself in that situation. He'd actually, I'm surprised, he probably was like, no, you're not pulling me out.
Right.
Because he's a competitor.
Well, he's one of those guys, you know, he's a Scherzer, he's a DeGrom. He is one of those pitchers of Verlander at the top of his career that you know has the ability to kind of go an extra
that extra gear.
Karen, they're going to say, "I trust you." You know, Zach was he's very possibly headed to the Hall of Fame. And he hasn't played on as many great teams as some of these other guys have had to, you know, boost their statistics, especially wins. I've always had great respect for Zach. And I just think sometimes that, you know, you've got to trust your manager. You know, you can't have him be a puppet all the time. You got to have him make these decisions. And as far as, you know, the rest of it goes, you know, the analytics are with us, folks. I mean, it's going to be. They have analytics for football now. They have them for basketball. They have them for everything. And it's here to stay. So I just hope that that they use them just a little bit better, because I'm not so sure. You saw what's happened with some of the rule change. Look at the defensive shifts now, right? And that was my biggest issue back then, although I didn't ever get a chance to talk about it. I said, I'm not real thrilled about it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need to know, you know, I can't figure out why it is that every left-handed hitter that comes up, whether he's the top of the lineup, middle, or the end, all these different pitchers, relievers, left-handers, right-handers, closers, why are they playing them in the same spot when they make the shift?
Yeah.
It's almost impossible to say that the analytics tells you to do this. So, you know, that's just my two cents.
Really. It's well, I mean, as an outside observer, you know, with this emergence of analytics and all of that, you know, growing up, no one knew who the general manager or the front office people in a ball club were. Now you see GMs and presidents of baseball operations making millions of dollars and being interviewed on SportsCenter. They kind of have to justify that existence, and they kind of themselves hide behind, well, I'm the ones that are managing these numbers. I'm the ones that are compiling all these data. Where before is the manager, you know, puts the lineup card, he motivates the players, he keeps the environment around the ballpark conducive to success for those players. And now you have all these other front office guys running around, and really it's like justifying their job. It's like, well, the only way that's quantifiable for us to justify what we're doing in the front office is through the metrics of the players. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, like I said, I don't know how many individual people actually work on all the different metrics. Mm-hmm. You know, the extent of the metrics, you know, we're only seeing the surface level value of this stuff, because they have stuff that's going to tell you, you know, how many feet this guy ran and how fast he was running and the speed of the ball. And you see every time, you know, you say, oh, this guy hit 110 mile an hour ball to the gap.
Exit velocity,
yeah. Launch angle, yeah. All this stuff that, you know. And I will tell you that, you know, based on, you know, the videos that these guys study and now the new analytics, that they're going in there and they're trying to get that, you know, 23-degree angle or a 27-degree angle. They're swinging at that ball at that angle because they know if they make contact with a 95-mile-an-hour fastball, then it's going to end up in the seats. Therefore, you know, you're going to have more strikeouts too. So it's complicated. You know, the access of which these players have, they can get every at bat they've ever had. They can do them over a course of a game. They can do them back to back to back, like you have your own, you know, your log. Like this is game one, four at bats, game two, four at bats simultaneously. Right after that, boom, 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 boom. They can look up the pitcher who they're going to be facing. They can get all the recent data. They can get their own personalized at bats against this pitcher to see what they remember from the past. So there's a lot of information out there that is extremely helpful.
And I think it's going to become even more pronounced too with artificial intelligence, with AI.
Oh,
because
my
now,
God.
Just like ChatGPT, where you can say, write this paper for me, you can say, what should I do in this situation? And the API of the AI will put every scenario ever from the entire history of baseball into that calculus.
I don't know if you saw this. I did for the first time. Shohei Ohtani had a thing on his wrist when he was pitching. And it's almost like a quarterback, you know, when that list that they go to, playlist. He was looking over basically this program that tells him what he should be throwing.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes away a lot of that thought when you can say, okay, yeah, I agree with that. Boom, let's go. This is going to happen. This is, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to necessarily bring Stephen Hawking into this conversation, but he once said that this could lead to the destruction of human mankind because of this thing. And you know, I just think you have to be very careful. You know, I don't want the machines running things. You know, really don't. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who are working don't want the machines to be working.
I mean, I think baseball has policies in place with, you know, especially post-Astros with the, you know, banning electronic devices within the dugout itself.
Yeah.
But I imagine that's going to be the next cheating scandal, where you're going to have some guy with a chat style, you know, chat API style AI program relaying signals in to the players saying this is what's coming based on all this information from, you know, past and previous sessions, where like this guy's gonna, in this particular scenario, this counts, this temperature, this time of day, he's throwing you a curveball.
Well, I saw, it's not necessarily AI, but I was watching the Women's College World Series, and there was one team, and I don't recall who it was, but the third base coach was a male. And what happened was is that this guy could pick up the grips of the ball. Very experienced person. And he would take where that stretch where they can go within that little thing there, he would go back, he would watch the grip on where the pitcher is going to throw, and then he would walk forward and he would give him a signal.
That's cheating.
Well, I mean, you're not supposed to be giving things away.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're showing me something that, you know, and I can relay it, I just found it to be, I mean, it blew me away. I'm saying, oh my God, they can act, you can walk there? That guy can do that? And he's making a signal to the hitter. Unbelievable.
Well, I guess we'll see about that.
Yeah,
forward.
We are. We're going to be back for our final segment on We'll See About That right after this.
Here's a simple solution for you. If you have back pain, knee pain, or any other pain in your body, it's as simple as drinking a glass of water every day. Your body is over 60% water, and drinking the best water you can get is crucial for your health. Echo Antioxidant Water, developed by Synergy Science, is the best water you can drink, and it's only available through this special radio offer. Over 1,000 research studies have shown that the powerful antioxidant used in Echo Antioxidant Water can reduce inflammation, improve brain function, help you sleep better, and boost gut health. With just 2 glasses a day, you can experience these benefits right from the comfort of your home. Some people have even replaced their morning coffee jolt with Echo Antioxidant Water. Call now and learn which Echo product by Synergy Science is right for you. We offer free shipping and a full 30-day money-back guarantee. Change your health by simply changing your water.
800-944-1789. 800-944-1789. 800-944-1789. That's 800-944-1789.
If you're taking a calcium supplement, it's probably not doing what you think it is. That's because you still lose bone density with traditional calcium supplements. That's where calcium from algae comes in. AlgaeCal Plus doesn't just stop bone loss. It's the only supplement ever shown to increase bone density in clinical studies. That's right. AlgaeCal Plus increases bone density, even if you're in your 80s. That's because your bones need more than just calcium and vitamin D to stay strong. There are actually 13 minerals and 3 vitamins needed to build healthy new bone, and AlgaeCal Plus contains all of them, and it's proudly made in the USA. Your calcium doesn't increase bone density. AlgaeCal Plus does. Talk to one of our bone health consultants today and see how AlgaeCal Plus can start increasing your bone density. Call now.
800-437-8217. 800-437-8217. 800-437-8217. That's 800-437-8217.
If you or a loved one is suffering from a physical or emotional condition that has left you unable to work, then listen carefully. Take this number down. 800-593-7491. That's 800-593-7491. When you call, you'll speak with a Social Security disability expert and get a free evaluation to see if you may qualify for disability insurance benefits from the U.S. government. That's right, a monthly cash payment paid directly to you from the Social Security Administration. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied disability benefits, call now. The disability attorneys at Pinnacle Disability can help you build your case, file an appeal, and represent you at no upfront cost to you. Don't wait another minute to see if you may qualify for your Social Security disability benefits. Call Pinnacle Disability Group at 800-593-7491 for your free case evaluation. That's 800-593-7491. 800-593-7491. Call now.
Hey, Ron. How you doing?
Okay, welcome back to We'll See About That. We're in our last segment here, and I just want to shoot out a reminder about the Penguin Power book that I'm doing with Triumph Books. Launching date is June 13th. It's available on Amazon. Pre-orders are available. And the first book signing will be June 14th, Diesel Bookstore, Santa Monica. Hope to see you there, 6:30 p.m. And we are going to have an icon in the woman's world, primarily centered around tennis, but certainly has done incredible things elsewhere. We're very fortunate to have Billie Jean King, and look very forward to having a conversation with her.
Yeah, she's not only a sports icon, but also an icon when it comes to social justice, and she's exactly. An amazing person.
Yeah, she's done a lot of things, and I know that we've been after her for a while, and she's over in Paris, or has been in Paris to watch the Paris Open. And I'm sure that she has had a very, very – I would like to know what her schedule is like when she gets invited to these Grand Slams.
Totally.
Because they got to be absolutely crazy. She's got no time to herself whatsoever.
Because also, you're in Europe in a completely different time zone, usually 12 hours ahead or behind. But also you have commitments to your network you're working for here at home. So it's probably like a lot of real like early morning Zoom calls.
Yeah,
for,
and
for
she, you know, and she's, you know, she's starting to feel, you know, the age and this travel and the commitment to it. I know I've spoken to her about it in the past, but what a terrific opportunity for us to have her on, and should be a very, very interesting show.
And when she beat Billy Riggs in the quote unquote match of the century,
right?
That was one of the biggest. I mean, people don't realize now that was one of the biggest sporting events of all time up to that point.
Yeah. You know, and I was thinking about that too. I want to ask her about that impact. You know, what actually transpired after that, because I thought she was going to win. I really did.
Bobby Riggs is 55 when he played that.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, look, it's an entertainment value thing. You know, it's. One of those made for television sports.
It was a spectacle.
Yeah, yeah, it was great. And, you know, I am glad she won.
Yeah,
and it's going to be an honor.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, we are about ready to close up here. I hope that you guys have a wonderful weekend. Father's Day is coming up this weekend. You know, make sure that. That you spend time with your loved ones. It's a very special occasion. I hope all of you guys are going to be great during that time. We hope to see you next week. Please join us. Have a great weekend.